Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church on this rainy morning. But we're so glad for the rain, aren't we? Just a few announcements before we begin worship together. You'll notice that the Advent concert series continues this Tuesday at the Methodist Church with Paul Ballard singing, and lunch follows for $5. Wednesday will be a very busy day around here. We'll have the prayer breakfast at 6:30 this Wednesday morning, and then that evening, Wednesday evening, will be the Joy Gift Supper at 7 p.m. And at that time, we will receive the gratitude gift offering, and you have an insert of that, describing that in your bulletin. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. So a lot going on Wednesday. Now, if you'll look down at the upcoming events column, there are two events today that I want to draw to your attention. The Stepping Stone Baptist Church is having a communion service this evening at 5 p.m. And also, the Alcorn State Music Ensembles will present their annual Christmas concert at St. Mary's in Natchez at 7 p.m. So if you want to go to the concert in Natchez, you are encouraged to get there early. No later than 6:30, be in your seat if you want to get a seat. It's generally a standing room only. And, of course, we had a little taste of the men's chorale at the Methodist Church last Tuesday, so I know you will enjoy being at that concert if you can go this evening. Also, this coming Tuesday, we have the Christmas musical program at Stepping Stone Baptist Church. That will be at 6 p.m., and then this Saturday is the Christmas Parade, Main Street Christmas Parade. So, a lot going on this week. Let's try to participate in whatever we can. And let us be called to worship with these familiar words. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Let us stand and sing God's praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, as we come into your presence today, we confess that we are not worthy to worship you. Even now, our hearts are so divided. We love you, but we allow so many of our other loves to crowd you out of our thoughts. And even in this season of the year, when we claim to focus on the coming of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, we allow so many other desires and interests to dominate our actions. Forgive us, Lord, when we neglect you, when we fail to fulfill the purpose you have for our lives, to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. Cleanse our thoughts and our emotions by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might not only worship you this hour, but that we might live in a right relationship with you all week long. Hear our prayers, even as we offer the prayer that Jesus Christ, our great high priest, taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you will take up your hymnal, our responsive reading is found in the back of the hymnal, selection 640. Our theme today is Christ, our High Priest, the one who redeems us by His blood. And so we'll read what Paul has to say about that same subject from the book of Romans, chapter 5. I'll read the light-faced print of selection 640 and encourage you to respond with the bold-faced print. Let us read this portion of God's Word responsively. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope.
And hope does not disappoint us, because God's hope has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us.
While we were yet helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Since, therefore, we are now justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God.
For if while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life.
Then as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and life for all men.
For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, many were made righteous.
Law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals now to selection 121 as we celebrate the gift of Christ who redeems us. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 121. Let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
We have sung our Lord's praise. Now let us say what we believe about Him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. And as we prepare for our time of prayer, let's take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 117. Selection 117 is Silent Night. You may not need the hymnal for this old favorite hymn, but we'll sing all three stanzas and let us stand to sing. You may be seated. Christ has come to be with us. That's what we celebrate during this time of the year. Christ has come to share in our suffering. That's what we celebrate this time of year. So with the confidence that we pray to a Savior who knows what we're going through, let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we give you thanks and praise for this Christmas season in which we celebrate the coming of Christ to be with us. Lord, during this season, we celebrate with family and friends, and we all have so many warm and wonderful memories of Christmases past when we have been with our loved ones. And so, Lord, this day we would pray for those whose loved ones are not with them. Father, we would pray for those who have loved ones who are in prison. We pray, O Lord, for those who have loved ones who are far away, stationed perhaps overseas in the military or with business or just working in a distant place. Lord, we pray for those who are missing their loved ones who have gone on to be with you, for those grieving at this time of year. And Father, for all these whose loved ones are not with them, we pray that you would be with them, that you would be with us, that you would comfort us with your presence and surround us with your peace. Lord, we ask a special prayer this Christmas season for those who do not know this peace and this love. We pray, O Lord, for those who have not given their lives to the Lord Jesus and who are thus still walking in darkness. Lord, we pray that the light of Christ would somehow shine into that darkness, that you would use all of the special services, the carols on the radio stations, the special Christmas music and messages everywhere. Lord, that you would use all of these things to draw people unto yourself. Father, we would be bold to pray that you would bless our loved ones, bless those who are not yet in Christ. Lord, that you would do for us what you did so long ago, that you would come to be with us in the person of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask that you would indeed fill us with your Spirit so that we might know your love, experience your peace, and, Lord, that we might share the good news with others. And we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. God has given us his best. God has given us his Son. Let us respond to God's gracious gift as we give unto the Lord his tithes and our offerings.
Let us pray. Lord, we would give with hearts that are full of gratitude. We would give with hearts that are full of love. And so, Lord, as we present these gifts to you, we pray that you would give us giving hearts. Help us, Lord, to give all that we are and all that we have for your glory and for the good of others. And we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Today, as we remember last week, we looked at how Jesus Christ is our great prophet. We found out that Jesus came to speak a true word from God for us, but that he not only came to speak the truth, we learned that he is the truth. In his person, in the essence of his being, he reveals all the fullness of what it means to be God. He said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Well, today we turn to the second of Christ's offices. He is a prophet, and he is also our great high priest. We find out about Jesus' office of the high priesthood in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 9 and reading through verse 18. This is the word of the Lord. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." That is God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it today. Jesus Christ is our prophet. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. So if a prophet speaks to man a word from God, what does a priest do? Well, one of the main jobs in the Old Testament was for the priest to offer up sacrifices on behalf of the people. That's what our passage means in verse 17 when it says that Jesus made reconciliation for the sins of the people. It means he offered up something to the Father to turn the Father's anger away from those who had committed sin against him. Now remember, as we learned last week, God always tells the truth. He never lies. He never goes back on his word. And one of the things that God had said, even in the days of Adam in the Garden of Eden, God had said that the wages, the penalty for sin, is death. When someone sins, when someone goes against God's will, when someone thus commits treason against the sovereign Lord of the universe, that someone has to die. Only death can turn away God's anger from sin. And so, because of his great love for sinners like us, God provided substitutes for his people. In the Old Testament times, God told the people to let priests sacrifice animals on their behalf. When the animal died, the sinner would be reminded of his penalty that his sin deserved. And at the same time, the sacrifice would turn away God's anger. But an animal sacrifice could not be sufficient, because an animal is not worth the same as a human life. Now, this is not to say that animals are not wonderful creatures. They are. They are just as amazing in their own way as we are. But the reason that a human being is worth more than an animal is not because of our language or our intellect or our emotions or our ability to use tools. No, we are special because we are made in the image of God, because God breathed His own breath into Adam in order that Adam might become a living soul. And so, all those animal sacrifices in the Old Testament were really just symbols. They were signs of a greater sacrifice that was to come. And as today's passage tells us, that sacrifice would be Jesus Christ Himself. And Paul agrees in our responsive reading. Christ died, he says, for us. We are justified. We are made righteous in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this sacrifice of Christ on our behalf, it just makes sense. It is sufficient. Because Jesus is the Son of God. He is fully divine. So of course His death is worth as much as all the sinners who ever lived in all the world. But if Jesus were only God, He couldn't really die in our place, could He? For it wouldn't be exactly the same sort of payment. If a man must die to pay for the sin of another man, then how can God die in man's place? Our passage today tells us, in order that Jesus might be our great high priest, in order that Jesus might offer Himself up for the sins of the world, He not only had to be truly God, He had to be truly man. This mystery of the incarnation that we celebrate during this Christmas season had to be true. Verse 14 says, Jesus partook of human flesh and blood. And it was that flesh and blood, Jesus, that truly died on the cross for sinners like you, for sinners like me. And what did the death of Christ accomplish? It not only satisfied God's justice, it not only, as Paul says, gave us peace with God, restoring us to a right relationship with the God against whom we have rebelled. No, Christ's death also destroyed the power of death itself. There is no room for any of Jesus' people to be afraid of death. And there is no room for any of Jesus' people to be afraid of Satan, because Jesus has defeated him when He destroyed the power of death. All this Jesus accomplishes for us as our great high priest. He offers up a perfect sacrifice on our behalf. He died so that we might have eternal life with God forever. He died so that we might have abundant life now, life that is fearless, life that is free. But even that is not all that our great high priest does for us. For a priest does not just offer up sacrifices on behalf of his people. No, like a prophet, a priest is someone who speaks the truth. But where a prophet speaks God's truth to man, a priest speaks man's truth to God. A priest prays for his people. Now, in order for a priest to do this job well, he has to understand what's really going on in the lives of his people.
He has to understand what really makes them tick. He needs to know their doubts. He needs to know their dreams. He needs to know what makes them hurt. He needs to know what makes them happy. The better the priest knows his people, the more pointed his prayers can be on their behalf. And this is another reason that Jesus came to earth not in a cloud of thunder and lightning, but as a baby laid in a manger, as a human being, just like us. He came to share in our human experience. Verse 18 says that he suffered. It says that he was tempted. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4 says Jesus was tempted in every way, just like we are. Now think about that. That means that Jesus, the Son of God, has experienced what you experience. He understands what you're going through. He knows what it means to suffer. He spent his first night on earth in a manger, in a cold stable. He knows what it means to be disappointed, to be rejected, to be betrayed. He knows what it means to grieve the loss of loved ones. He knows. He understands. And that is why when you pray to Jesus, you can know not only that He hears you, but that He understands what you're saying. And verse 18 says that because He has suffered when He is tempted, He is able to help others who are being tempted. He's able to help people like you and people like me. In fact, even though Jesus is God Almighty, He is so truly human that He considers us to be His brethren, His brothers and sisters. That's what verse 11 says. In verse 13, He uses another image, perhaps even more intimate. We are called His children. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? That we are the brothers and sisters, the children of God. But how can we know it's true? How can we know that Jesus really understands? How can we know that Jesus really cares? In those times when our hurts are deepest, in those times when our confusion is greatest, how can we be sure that Jesus really hears us, that He really gets it? Well, the good news is that we can know Jesus hears us. We can know Jesus helps us for the same reason He became a man, the same reason He went to the cross, because of His great love for us. That's what Paul tells us in our responsive reading. God shows His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And our passage from Hebrews agrees. Look at verse 9. We see the marvelous truth that Christ tasted death for everyone. Here we are reminded that the death of the cross was a death of incredible agony and suffering. But here we are also reminded of why Jesus did all of that. He did all of that because of God's grace. His grace. What does that mean? Grace really has two sides to it. In the first place, grace means receiving something we could not earn. If we could earn it, it would be payment. Grace is always a free gift. But grace is also given to someone who does not deserve it. And that makes sense. If we deserve a gift, it's not really free, is it? If we deserve something, there's a sense of being owed. There's a sense of payback. And so when we look at the cross, we find there is no room for anything but grace. For when we look at the cross, we see exactly what our sin, exactly what our rebellion against God deserves. the agony, the suffering, the death. But at the same time, we don't see ourselves on the cross. We see someone else. We know we could not possibly pay that kind of a debt. We could not die and go on living at the same time. And that is why God wants us to be with Him. He wants us to have what we cannot earn. He wants us to go on living with Him forever. He wants us to have a real relationship with Him, with those who He created in His image for His purpose. God wants us. And so it was because of God's great desire for us that He gave us on the cross what we could never earn. He gave us on the cross what we could never deserve. The Father gave the Son to be one of us. The Father gave the Son to die in our place. When we look at the cross, there is no room to doubt God's love. And when we look at the cross, there is no reason to doubt God's love. For our great high priest has done all that is necessary to reconcile us to God. He has offered up himself in our place. And our great high priest is praying right now for all of his people, that none of us might be lost, but that all of us might come to true repentance, to true faith, to a saving knowledge of him, that all of us might become his brothers and sisters, that all of us might become his children, that all of us might live with him forever. This is the desire of the Father for you. This is the love Christ has for you. And no matter what happens, this is a love you can trust. Let us pray. O Lord, thank you for the sacrifice of Christ. Thank you that Christ came to suffer with us and to suffer for us. Thank you that Jesus understands our sufferings. Thank you for the love you've shown us on the cross. Thank you for your desire to be in relationship with us. Lord, let these ideas not just be notions in our minds, but by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, let your love penetrate the hardness of our hearts. And allow us, Lord, truly to believe, truly to understand, truly to embrace this great gift that you have given to us. Jesus Christ, not only a baby in a manger, but a sacrifice on a cruel cross, our great high priest. For we offer this prayer in his name and for his sake. Amen. Let's continue that prayer as we turn in our hymnals to selection 102. As we ask Christ to come again and to come and be in our hearts every day. We'll sing both stanzas of hymn 102. Let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.